Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
April 3rd, 2024 marked the third day of jury selection in the Chad Daybell trial. It was a very long day with a ton of jurors. One of Tammy Daybell's family member was also in court. And of course, John Pryor was upping his game yet again. And we're only on day three. He brought some more analogies and stories. And he even did some flirting in court today. I do daily recaps on jury selection and also give you details about the day. I'll also be covering the trial as well, whenever that begins. It's estimated to take 8 to 10 weeks, and I have over 200 videos on the case. Not just updates, but deep dives, connecting dots, and also theory videos. I'm Linda with It's a Crime, so now, let's get into it. The jury trial started April 3rd at 9:06 a.m. today at the Ada County Courthouse in Boise, Idaho. So just about right on time. Day one and day two started off a half an hour late, and day one went exceptionally long with two rounds of jurors. And day two was shorter, but today was also another long day with two rounds, and it ended at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard. But it was fruitful, and more on that in a minute. Day one, we had 16 out of 32 jurors. Day two, we only had four that went through, bringing it to 20. And today, we went through a bunch, and I'll get to the final count at the end of the video. Now, with all the talk of hardship in court, I thought it would be interesting to talk about what the jurors get paid per day according to the Idaho government website. As of May 7th, 2018, each juror is paid $50 per day for attendance. Jurors can receive up to $60 a day after serving 10 days on a trial. As of January 1st, 2024, jurors are also paid 67 cents per mile round trip, regardless of the mode of transportation. So Tammy Daybell's aunt was in the courtroom today. Of course, the awesome Nate Eaton from East Idaho News. We love Nate, and also a victim advocate. Now, in my day two video, I talked about John Pryor's analogy of fishing. Some people were confused, so I'm just going to clarify this because there was a lot of comments. John is addressing the potential jurors. And in summary of that analogy, the scenario involves two individuals separately going fishing, and one notices the other across the pond also fishing. John questions a juror if this constitutes as an agreement to fish together. He brings up another situation where one person catches more trout than allowed by law, leading to a citation. He asks whether the other person across the pond should also be cited for being present regardless of their catch. He also uses a pun, I guess you could call it. He said, "We're gonna let you off the hook today." Ha ha ha. I just want to note the quote he said about the fisherman who receives that citation. And he said, quote, "Let's say that as a result of both of us being out there fishing, at the same time, I'm not catching anything, but boy, the other person across the pond has like 10 trout. The limit on trout that day was only 6, and unfortunately, that person is breaking the law, and along comes the fishing game officer, and this fishing game officer says, 'You broke the law, and I'm giving you a citation.'" He says, "Am I responsible for a citation as well because I'm fishing on the other side of the pond? Should I be getting a citation because I was fishing on the other side of the pond?" Now, many people were confused by this analogy. There was a lot of people in my comments. But remember, this is about Chad Daybell and Alex Cox. And the agreement is of conspiracy to murder, which is the charges that Chad is facing. And John is trying to use this analogy of fishing and asking if a person is just an innocent bystander fishing and minding their own business while the people across the pond are breaking the law. And he says, does that constitute that they are fishing? We're working together. I hope that makes sense for you now. Now back to today. They did the two rounds, like I said, and they went through the process of voir dire, which means, again, to speak the truth. And the simplest form is just, it's a line of questioning to potential jurors during the jury selection process, and it's primarily done by the attorneys to prospective jurors from the jury pool. Although the judge may also ask the jurors questions, and also we hear from the defense. Interestingly, I heard John Pryor say voir dire correctly today, and I'm actually going to give some kudos to him on that, but that's where it stops. And John, if you're watching, which I think you might be at this point, hi! I'll tell you all about that in a minute. Up first was Lindsay Blake. They did their analogies. Both Rob and Lindsay use analogies to get the point across and make things clear. In day two, she used a brother analogy to get the point across about conspiracy and agreements. And I had that in the day two recap. And a conspiracy is two or more persons to enter an agreement in an act. She also had a rain analogy. Check it out.
So today, as you headed to court, if the sky had started to turn gray, and then you got into the courthouse and we closed all those windows and we closed the blinds, and when you went outside, it was wet, your car was wet, the grass was wet, the pavement's wet, you start driving home, everything's wet along your drive, are you going to be able to determine what happened?
Yeah.
And your 823, what would you determine had happened? And you're 142, how about you?
24.
Oh, sorry, 1424, I apologize, yes.
Yeah, some type of precipitation.
And you didn't have to see it rain to make that determination, correct? So in this case, you'll hear different types of evidence, and some of the evidence you'll hear referred to as circumstantial. Does anyone have concerns that with the type of evidence presented, you would have concerns weighing that and giving the weight it's due?
Now, during round one, 17 people started in the morning. 7 raised their hands about hardship at the very beginning. 6 were excused and 1 stayed. So it was 3 females and 3 males that were excused, leaving 10 left for voir dire. And one woman who was excused was an interesting person to hear about. She really pushed about having to take care of her husband and make him food, and he's on a special diet. She said he worked away and didn't have access close by to get some food, so she preps for him. And she's been married, rather, for 41 years, and I believe it was 45 together. And I found it interesting that John is the one who brought up the length of time of being married, because in my opinion, she sounded very dedicated to him. And while Tammy and Chad were married over 25 years, I believe it was 28 years when she was murdered. So there's that. But she ended up being excused, so no dice for her. Now, another juror was a man who suffered from lupus. He couldn't be compensated and would lose out of $25,000. He really had a hard time when he had his flare-ups. He also said he had a dog with an enlarged heart, and I believe he said something about his daughter, but sometimes it's really hard to hear what they say in court. The camera and audio really isn't that great. And he was also excused. But the 7th juror of that morning, 12:04, he actually stayed and was a gentleman that had a vacation in mid-June and was concerned about that. Now, I'd love to know more about this process from the prosecution and defense point of view and their strategy between weeding out jurors, not just of the obvious, but some of the strategy behind it, because both sides wanted this guy gone and the judge kept him. And so far from the patterns, it's been very even on the genders on each day. Now, I've seen others kept on for more than that. He had something mid-June. So it's just interesting. What do you think? Now, John had 2 analogies today that stood out. And one of them had to do with a concentration camp.
I want to go into a couple of... before I start that, I guess I'll go back a little bit. Again, if Chad decides not to testify, is there anybody here who's going to think that he's guilty because he chose not to testify?
No.
All right, thank you. Nobody? Okay. Now, I want to talk a little bit about bias. Does everybody understand what bias is? And would everybody agree that bias is you have an opinion about something, whether it's based on fact or truth, but you have an opinion about somebody and it may influence your judgment. Everybody agree that? And I brought my mother up a couple of times, and I'm going to bring her up again. Just a tremendous influence in my life. When I was a very young man, and I'm a, please don't hold this against me, anybody, please, but I'm a transplant to the state of Idaho. I'm not quite born and raised here, but I've got 30 years in, so I think I feel like I've spent enough time in my life that I consider myself a true Idahoan. When I was born in the early part of my life was in the back east. And I lived in a neighborhood. And my mother's very best friend had a very close friend. And they didn't share the same beliefs, faith beliefs. And one day I was sitting there with my mother, and it was a very hot day in back east. And back east, it gets incredibly warm.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And this person at the time, and my mother was probably 40 years of age, and they were sitting there in the backyard. And I looked over at her best friend, and on her right arm were numbers. And there were about five numbers. And they had been tattooed on. So I asked her, why do you have numbers tattooed? And she said to me, well, I lived in Germany for a little while. And then I stayed at a camp called Auschwitz. And I was surprised because I couldn't understand as a seven-year-old how someone would tattoo someone an arm and put numbers on there. And that was a good lesson for me, because what it showed is that there are people who have feelings so strong that they would engage in that kind of conduct. And I can assure you, you can't count the number of people who have had that done to them anymore, because most of them aren't here anymore. But that had a profound impact on me, and it was the best example of what bias was. And I want to ask you folks, is there anybody here who feels that you should judge somebody just because they may have different beliefs than you do? Please raise your cards. This is important.
No. Saying no or saying yes?
If you say no, raise your cards. Okay, unanimous. Thank you. Do all of you understand that it's important not to judge somebody because of their beliefs? Okay. Do all of you know that we all may have different beliefs? That we all may believe some things that are different? Do all of you agree that regardless of how unusual or how unrealistic those beliefs are, we have to respect people for their beliefs? Would everybody agree that? And that we can't judge someone just because they may have unusual or beliefs that we just don't find realistic. Would everybody agree?
Yes.
And would everybody agree that you're not going to judge a person just because they may not form to what you think is normal or average or standard beliefs about a various topics? Would that be fair to ask that a few of that?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, I doubt he can really talk about conduct. Now, I gotta mention this. John sounded like he was outright flirting with a juror. He kept mentioning her smile and just seemed a little off. Okay, a lot off. Just enough to take notice. Let's just say, have a listen.
And then I'm gonna go to 1379. Because you keep smiling again, and you're catching my attention with that smile. So please don't stop. So let's talk a little bit about honesty, and then go
what your thoughts are.
Now, an interesting note, it looks like they found the guy who was MIA yesterday from court because one person wasn't answering their phone, and that obviously was concerning, but juror number 823 is actually a guy in the military, and he said it was an anonymous mistake. He said his phone died and he relies on his alarm. He woke up and it was already, you know, too late. But he said, you know, I'm in the military. I realize, you know, time's important and I'm typically on time. The next one that was interesting was a female. She said she doesn't know much about the case. She tries not to involve herself, though, in dramas or news or things like that. She believes that she'd be a good juror because of that. She said, though, she has 0% energy for this process. She wished she actually had a hardship. And she said she isn't into sensational things or people who insert themselves into other people's lives. She says, if you are a person who wants to be here, well, then that's kind of sick. And then the next juror is also a female that John talked to, and he had a weird laugh towards her, which was odd, but he was talking to her about media and what she knew. And then John says this, these podcast people who are making a living on something unfortunate. Now, I do find this interesting because WTF does he do for a living? Same with the news, same with first responders. My ex-husband is a first responder and he makes a living off of sick people, I guess you could say. Does that make it wrong? Is Nate Eaton wrong? No. Pot and kettle, John. Pot and kettle. Not to mention what John does for a living and who he's helping. Oh wait, he said he's not making any money though off of him, but remember, he also now owns Chad's house and property where those dead children lay or had laid. So there's that. Another notable juror was a male who ended up being excused because he watched the live stream about the actual jury selection of this jury selection. He said maybe about a half an hour of it. So it's a little bit of an oopsie, but he said he didn't think about it, but didn't think official court business would be an issue. So he was turfed. And another female, this one was interesting that she actually has her PhD as a psychologist, which I thought was interesting. And one juror today sounded a little spicy. There was some talking over each other at one point as well. Got a little bit confusing. I thought, I don't know what was going on, but have a listen.
And go ahead, I'm sorry. Juror number 657, please.
Sorry, I just kind of wanted to reword what I said, just to make sure I kind of get it across clearly.
Okay.
Basically, when it comes to making any sort of major decision, it's never, almost never a good idea just to guess, you know, on a whim or, you know, just assume, I guess you could say.
Right.
It's always very important to weigh information, weigh facts before you make, especially a big decision.
Right. And would you all agree with me that it's never a good idea to speculate about facts? That what we should really do is look at what we have at hand and make a determination based on what we have at hand and not guess about other things, other possibilities. Would all of you agree with me on that? Go ahead.
We're talking about two different things here. Because that saying about this case, which I agree with, right?
I'm talking about.
But there was also a personal side.
Hey, wait. We cannot talk at the same time as each other, so we need to have question and answer for the court reporter.
He's 438.
Mr. Pryor, if you just pose a new question, and then let's make sure to not have that.
And I apologize, Jerry. I wasn't talking specifically about the case about speculation. I was talking about major decisions in your life, how you go about making decisions about those. So go ahead.
Well, sometimes I don't have all the facts, like major decisions. It might be a financial decision, buying stocks. I collect all the facts that I had at the time, but there is an element of speculation when it becomes personal. I have to make a decision.
Okay.
So that I'm just saying there was some questions about personal, and then it went down this path.
In round one, 9 out of 17 advance to the pool. A total of 50 are needed before they get to the next stage where they whittle it down to 18 jurors and 6 alternates. And then in round 2, we added another 6, I believe, or it might have been 8, but that in total, it gets us to 37 jurors. So that leaves us with 50 15 more to go to get to 50. It's been a long day. So today we went from 20 this morning before we started and to 37. That's a really good day. We might just get to 50 by Friday. What do you think? Let me know below. And we just need 13 more. So day two only had 4 to go through. So fingers crossed, today was a good day. Let's get this done. Now, some other thoughts. Chad wore his blue tie today. Yesterday was red. I feel like we should have a board to keep track of when he wears the red one. I feel like John Pryor doesn't really want parents, and we can understand why, right? I mean, we have Tylee, we have JJ, and even as a parent and mother, because of Tammy or father, but really, he doesn't want parents. You can see it. He scopes them out and then just really hones in on it, asks them for like 10 minutes about their child. But I do wonder what they will show for evidence on Chad when it comes out in trial. And there will be, you know, things that are probably different than Lori's because we're dealing with Chad. And it was just a set of different things, I guess, because of Chad's yard and that kind of thing, and also with Alex Cox. But we know about the pickaxe and shovel that has to do with Tylee. So I'm curious about what they find. I know they had DNA of Tylee's on it, but I wonder what the DNA or what they found on that shovel and pickaxe. That'd be interesting to know as well. We're learning a lot in court so far, not only about the jurors, but the way that John handles things. I don't have a lot to say about the prosecution because they are consistent even in their words and stories, but John isn't. And it'll be very interesting in trial because then we will see all his cards laid out. He watched Lori's trial in person. He was there taking notes. He may say he's not prepared, but he really is, in my opinion. But with him so far, there are a lot of wait what moments. Court will start at 9 a.m. tomorrow. 2 more groups are going to be tomorrow. It's looking like so it's going to be another long day. If you haven't seen day 1 or 2, click right here on the playlist or click right here on what YouTube thinks you might like to see. See you on day 4.